You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. All of that brings the time to 4:02, and it's time for us to say good afternoon to Steve Reed. Good to have you back, Steve, on the Entrepreneur Zone.
Thank you, Richard. Hello, listeners. Great to be back.
What have you got for us this afternoon?
So, Richard, you know that I like to start with a book and kind of broaden it out to get folk to come in and talk about the aspects of that book, not necessarily having read the book themselves, but the reason that they're involved is because they embody some truth in the book. Listeners, today I'm going to be talking about Rebel Talent, a book by Dr. Francesca Gino, and the subtitle is Why It Pays to Break the Rules at Work and in Life. Quite an attractive cover with a sheep that's painted purple, pink or something. In other words, not fitting in. And what do the following have in common? The world's best chef, the pilot who landed his plane on a river, the magician who made history, and the computer scientist who changed animated films forever. Well, the thing that they have is rebellion. And it's not rebellion necessarily under the war protest kind of thing, but rebellion, as Francisco defines it, isn't simply about rule breaking. It's about allowing your best self and your talents to shine through in all aspects of your work and life. Richard, one of the things that we've also spoken about in the past is a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth. And the first person to recommend this Rebel Talent is that Angela Duckworth. Great stories, great science, great practical advice about how, when, and why to break the rules. So today, listeners, what I'd love to do is take a quick journey through this book with you, but then apply it. Say, well, what's that got to do with me, with my business, with my life, etc.? So the first thing, I want to take two examples and then quickly, eight little principles. The first one was of that pilot who landed his plane on the Hudson River. And of course, we're talking about Sully. So Sully was a pilot. And just shortly after taking off from, I think it's called LaGuardia Airport, they hit a bird strike. Now, the thing about the bird strike is that it's unusual that all your engines are affected. But in this case, all his engines were affected. And the traffic controller, and this long, lengthy story, but goes into detail about trying to direct them to the nearest emergency landing. And as Sully had asked for, quickly give me the emergency procedures, etc., which is a standard operating procedure, you realize they're not going to make it back to the LaGuardia Airport. And so we pick up the conversation when Harton, that's the air control traffic control guy, says, you can land runway 1 on Teterboro. And Sully says, we can't do it. Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro? And he says, Sully says, we're going to be in the Hudson. I'm sorry? Say again? Like he thought maybe he misheard. And Sully was, of course, seconds away from going into the Hudson. So he couldn't really respond. And this air control guy said, oh, are you still on? And then all he heard was, brace, brace, heads down, stay down, the flight attendant shouted. And so they landed in there, and Sully kept the nose up just so that they didn't plunge, but kind of glided. He lowered the nose slightly in the last few seconds before the plane touched the water. This put the aircraft at a more favorable angle and at a speed of less than 140 miles an hour. The impact tore away the left engine and ripped open the plane's belly towards the rear, but the plane skipped to a stop. And they started to evacuate. And the story is amazing. The water was, of course, incredibly cold because it was during winter. But within 4 minutes, the first of the rescue boats arrived. Sully was the last to exit the plane and board a boat. He walked in the deep water of the cabin multiple times to make sure that no one had been left behind. There were no casualties. From the moment the flock of migratory Canada geese hit the plane to the moment that Flight 1549 touched down on the Hudson River, 208 seconds had passed. 208 seconds, like 3 minutes. Now, why is this story in the book Rebel Talent? Well, the important thing is, in a crisis, they have a procedure to follow. But if Sully had only stuck with that, in other words, what he should have done, they would have been in trouble.
Mm.
They would have not made the river. In a crisis, when we think about what we should do, we focus on the most apparent course of actions, often those we relied on when making similar decisions in the past, whether we're following a checklist like he was going to do or not. Paradoxically, though, it is at those moments of extreme stress that taking a step back would be most helpful. So not thinking, what should I do, but rather change that to, what could I do? And that, by doing that, listeners, we think broader. We imagine, explore a much larger set of possibilities before making a final decision. Considering what we could do shifts us from analyzing and weighing options that we assume to be fixed to generating more creative options. So the first thing I want to say that comes out of this book is consider breaking the rules, and I'm putting that in inverted commas, and our listeners can't see that. But it's not only about what you should do. And of course, there's great reason to stay with what you should do. But sometimes there's wisdom to step into what you could do. The second story that I want to share is about that of Southwest Airlines. And they encourage their staff to bring their personality to work. And so Marty Cobb, a Texas-based Southwest Airlines flight attendant, began the safety announcement like this. She said, "My ex-husband, my new boyfriend, and their divorce attorney are going to show you the safety features of the Boeing 737-800 series. It's been a long day for me. To properly fasten your seat belts, slide the flap into the buckle. To release, lift up the buckle. Position your safety belt to the right and low around your hips, just like my grandmother wears her support bra. If you're traveling with small children, we're sorry. If you're traveling with more than one child, pick out the one you think might have the most earning potential down the road." And of course, passengers on the flight are giggling, which means that they're paying attention.
Mm.
Cobb ends the announcement with a spin on the customary invitation. "If there's anything at all we can do to make your flight more enjoyable, please tell us just as soon as we land in Salt Lake City. And if there's anything you can do to make our flight more enjoyable, we'll tell you immediately. We're not shy at Southwest." And this lady is not the only Southwest flight attendant who diverges from the standard announcements. David Holmes, a former computer programmer and personal trainer, became known as the rapping flight attendant after his performance on a 2009 Southwest flight to Las Vegas went viral. Part of the rhyme was, "We won't take your cash. You got to pay with plastic. If you have a coupon, then that's fantastic." I don't think I was rapping, but get the idea. And Southwest flight attendant Jack Sullivan is known for impersonating Elvis, complete with sunglasses and scarves. What's the point? The point is you have to do the safety announcement. But they've recognized that most people like switch off and they don't pay attention. They get disengaged. And by changing it a little bit, by breaking the rules, they kept people engaged. So listeners, here's 8 things that this Francesca Gino suggests that we do, that we can begin to break the rules and add value in our lives, to our own lives, but also to our business. Number one, seek out the new. And Richard, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be talking to yourself at Zone Radio and the things that the new things that you've done, that Zone Radio has taken on, that being innovative, of rebelling against the rules, and how that has taken you further. Seek out the new. Now, Olivetti, of course, is the typewriter Foken that's gone into word processing. So this guy, Olivetti, took over from his father, and he extended the lunch breaks so that workers could eat lunch for an hour and then eat culture for another hour. So he had a two-hour break. What did he do in that extra hour? Guest speakers included philosophers, writers, intellectuals, and poets from across Italy and the rest of Europe were brought in. If workers preferred to read, they could visit the factory library, which was stocked with tens of thousands of books and magazine. Meanwhile, the company prospered. Why? Because they were making room for the new. They were seeking out the new. Listeners, what can you do to seek out the new? Both my wife and I have embarked on the growth mindset journey. And part of that is to be constantly learning. I wonder what you can also do. What about this guy, Juan Fangio? Fangio, you might remember that, a legendary Argentinian driver who dominated the early years of Formula One driving. Well into the 1950 Monaco Grand Prix, he was blazing into a blind corner when for no apparent reason he slammed on the brakes. Why? Because he caught a glimpse of the crowd on the curve and realized that he was looking at the backs of their heads rather than their faces. So they had been distracted by something, and he figured there's something ahead that I need to be aware of. And in doing that, he avoided what could have been a very, very serious crash because he was aware of things. Seek out the new. Number two, encourage constructive dissent. Robert Kennedy, the president, he loved to encourage his men to purposely dissent, not agree, seek out things. So they're in a car together, and he divided the people into subgroups, with one working on a position paper that argued for a military strike, and the other for a blockade of the island nation. This is, of course, the Cuba thing. Mm. They then swapped papers, applying merciless scrutiny in search of the superior strategy. And you know what? There was no rank. In fact, we didn't even have a chairperson. They didn't defer to the fact that the president was there. The conversations were completely uninhibited and unrestricted. Robert Kennedy would comment, "In the end, the blockade in combination with deft diplomacy led to the removal of the missiles and prevented a nuclear conflict with the Soviet Union." I think we remember that vaguely in history, but we don't know just how close America came to starting what could have been a Third World War. And part of the diffusing of that, which this lady argues, is that encourage constructive dissent. Don't shut it down too quickly. Number three, open conversations, don't close them. So Pixar is an example of this. Pixar, when writers and directors are working on a story, there is a premium on developing creative solutions. And they do what is called plussing. So you add to or plus what has been said. Example, instead of criticizing a sketch, the director might build on a starting point by saying, "I like Woody's eyes. And what if we..." So it's plussing. Someone else might then jump in and add her own plus. The idea resembles a yes and. Listeners, how can you build in a yes and into your business and into your life? People listen, respect the ideas of others, and contribute their own. This type of collaborative atmosphere requires great effort to maintain. Why? Because we all seem to want to, it's built into us to judge others and their ideas. Sometimes our disapproval takes the form of silence, the death pause, as Pixar's Ed Catmull describes it. The rebel, in other words, the rebel talent, keeps an open mind, understanding that communication drives insight. Closed conversations generally fail. Dissent is welcome, but only, and only when there is shared respect and everyone feels they are in the same team. So many things can close a conversation. Laziness, distraction, someone who talks too much or not enough. And the rebel resists them all. Number four, listeners, reveal yourself. Now, this is you as the leader in your business, you as the leader in a group. So the CEO of Campbell Soup, Doug Conant, got to know his senior executives in one-on-one meetings. And he said this to them. He said, "What's important to me both in and out of work, what I look for in an organization, how I operate, why I do what I do, and much more." His goal? To convey a full picture of who he was, what he was all about, and what he wanted to accomplish as a CEO. "If I do what I say I'm going to do, I guess you can trust me. But if I don't, I guess you can't." So in revealing himself, in saying, you know, "I'm giving you opportunity to walk with me, but it's based on credibility." I think a leader like that is Anton from the Sozo Foundation. Rebels understand the power of showing themselves and knowing themselves. They don't hide who they are or pretend to be someone they're not. They encourage others to find and express their strengths. Then the fifth one is to learn everything, then forget everything. That sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Learn everything, listeners, and then forget everything. So the basketball coach, a legendary guy, John Wooden, and there are many quotes that are attributed to him, would open the first practice of every season by, imagine this, by having his players practice putting on their socks and lacing their shoes. And you think, now, how does that change the landscape? If the players got blisters from improperly laced shoes, they would move. They wouldn't move as well. If they couldn't jump or run to their potential, they would lose rebounds and miss shots. And if they missed rebounds and shots, the team would lose. Master the fundamentals, he figured, and the team would prosper. But what about this, possibly the world's best chef? This guy created a dish, and I'm going to do a poor job of trying to say it. It's all in Italian. This lady is Italian. "Le cinq stagionatier del Parmigiano Reggiano in diverse consenze e temperature."
Probably hot pasta.
"The five different ages of Parmigiano Reggiano," which is a cheese, "in five different textures and temperatures. The dish was first imagined 20 years ago, starting as an experiment with textures and temperatures. The 24-month-aged cheese is made into a hot souffle. The 30-month-aged cheese is made into a warm sauce. The 36-month-aged cheese is made into a chilled foam. The 40-month-aged cheese is made into a crisp. And the 50-month-aged cheese is transformed into in an air." I have no idea what that is. "It's a celebration of what this cheese or aging does to a wheel of Parmigiano. By exploring fundamental questions of how the cheese behaves, he ended with a dish that has never been experienced before." So he said, if you want to innovate, you need to know everything and then forget everything. Because knowing everything means you do it one way. But forgetting means let's try a different way. So listeners, what can you try that's new? Number six, find freedom in constraints. We remember the story of Apollo 13 and that amazing movie starring Tom Hanks. someone said, you don't want to go with Tom Hanks because he was on Castaway. He was on Phillips, the captain of that ship, and he was on Apollo 13. But they had expended most of their oxygen. And then 5.5 million pounds of explosive and 2 tanks of liquid oxygen were in the service module. Tank number 2, 10 feet below the astronauts' couches, had a crack in its wiring, something neither NASA nor the crew realized before launch. 19 hours into the flight, they completed 4/5 of an outward voyage, and they were 200,000 miles from Earth, and the cracked wires became exposed. When the crews turned on the fans in the oxygen tanks before going to bed, a spark between the cracked wires ignited a fire. The explosion severely damaged the spacecraft, leaving the 3 astronauts with a dwindling oxygen supply. They had to go round and come back. So what did the team of engineers on the ground, what did they do? Well, they had to come up with a way to clean the air using only the equipment on board in a very short amount of time. They couldn't, you know, there were other better ways of doing it, but they had to work with what they had there. The remarkable constraints and pressure drove them to a complete novel solution. They found freedom in the constraints. They figured out a clever way to use the square air cleaners located in the command module in the round receivers of the lunar module. Listeners, have you heard of that before? Who says that a square peg can't fit into a round hole? That's what they did.
Mm.
They took that, which we say as a quick saying, and they broke the rules there. And as a result of that, the 3 men were able to return to Earth safely. Number 7, lead from the trenches. One of the worst things that we can do as the business grows, as the organization grows, is get disassociated with what's happening on the ground. In the TV show Undercover Boss, executives go undercover as entry-level employees in the companies they lead. There are almost always some unpleasant surprises. In one episode, Frontier Airlines CEO Brian Bedford discovered major flaws in the company operations when he joined the front lines. From employees having only 7 minutes to clean a plane between flights, to agents shifting between checking in patrons to loading luggage by hand in 104 degree heat. By being in the trenches with their own employees, the executives see the problems in their business and how they experience, and they are also better understand what workers in the organization entails for their employees working in there. Rebels know where the action is, and that's where they want to be, not up in a tower or secluded in a corner office. The rebel knows that the best way to lead is from the trenches. Rebel leaders are comrades, friends, and fellow enthusiasts. And I don't think that comrades is like a political statement. It's like a All right. And finally, listeners, foster happy accidents. You know, some of the best and most wonderful products in the world have been discovered as a result of a mistake. After World War II, a flood of veterans enrolled in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. To accommodate this new population and their families, MIT, that's what it's short for, built Westgate West, a maze of 100 low-rise housing units for families on the far western edge of the campus. So 2 guys, as psychologists, were interested in knowing more about the social network in the housing complex, because they're now quite close to each other. So they asked residents to list their 3 closest friends. The people listed most often as best friends tended to live in a first-floor apartment right at the bottom of the staircase. 42% said one of the best friends was a direct neighbor. Friends are the people you bump into. These fruitful connections happen not only by designing workspaces differently, but by designing teams differently. And here's an interesting one, where the world's best chefs, this restaurant, they got two Cordon Bleu chefs. The one was Italian, so with all the spontaneity and other Italian, and the other one was Japanese. The two not only differed in their origins, Italy and Japan, but also in their strengths. One is more comfortable with improvisation, and the other is obsessed with precision. Bottura, the Italian, believes that such collisions make his kitchen more innovative. Too often, leaders believe that success depends upon hierarchical command and control. Rebels, on the other hand, know the value of happy accidents. So one day at this restaurant, the Japanese guy, very fastidious and ordered, dropped a lemon tart, and the Italian transformed it into the now famous dessert. Oops, I dropped the lemon tart. The story of how the dish was created found its way into his book. Eventually, this brought this lady to watch the Bottura's dishes and the stories behind them. And that just meant foster happy accidents. So, listeners, rebel talent. Rebellion isn't simply about rule breaking. It's about allowing your best self, your talents, to shine through in all aspects of your work and life. And we looked at 8 quick examples. What we're going to do in the future is we're going to look at 3 organizations, institutions that are not necessarily known for entrepreneurship and innovation. For example, can a radio station be entrepreneurial? Secondly, can a TVET college be entrepreneurial? And can our very own CMR, the ambulance guys, medical guys, how innovative and entrepreneurial are they? And I am quite prepared to guarantee that we will see some of this healthy rebellion in all 3 of those institutions.
Steve, thank you very much. I'm just smiling at you. Thank you so much again for sharing this knowledge. And I'm looking forward to hearing from the TVET College and also from CMR.
And what about from Zone Radio?
we have broken the rules. There's no question about that. And sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't. But yeah. You can. I think everybody at any level can be entrepreneurial. And I think your introduction on the Facebook post today, where it says, can organizations and institutions be entrepreneurial? It differs from us talking about individuals being entrepreneurial.
We're talking about the organization. Yeah,
because for an organization to be entrepreneurial, everybody, you got to get everybody on board, or as many people on board, and it's not a one-man show. So that's
absolutely
really where it is. Steve, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Richard.
And I'm pretty sure, did that lady say Robert Kennedy in that book?
Yes, she did.
The president was not Robert Kennedy, it was John F. Kennedy. Robert Kennedy was the Attorney General.
Okay. I'll have to check that. Did he not follow after John F. Kennedy?
No, Robert Kennedy was assassinated before he could become the president of the United States.
Thanks for clarifying that.
And if he hadn't been assassinated, then maybe we wouldn't have to have endured the evils of Nixon. But yeah, it is what it is. But John F. Kennedy was the guy that handled the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll touch base again in 2 weeks' time. Always wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much, Richard, and listeners. Looking forward to being with you in 2 weeks' time.